Kritva. Placing.
Mukhani.
Their faces.
Ava.
Downward.
Shucha.
Out of sorrow.
Svashanena.
By sighing.
Shushat.
Drying up.
Bimba.
Appearing like red bimba fruits.
Adarani.
Their lips.
Charanena.
With their toes.
Bhuva.
The ground.
Dakantya.
Scratching.
Ashray.
With their tears.
Upata.
Which carried.
Masabi.
The cudgel from their eyes.
Kucha.
On the breast.
Kunkamani.
The vermilion powder.
Tashtu.
They stood still.
Vrijantya.
Washing away.
Uru.
Excessive.
Dukkha.
Of unhappiness.
Vara.
Feeling the burden.
Sma.
Indeed.
Tushnim.
Silently. Their heads hanging down and their heavy, sorrowful breathing drying up the reddened lips, the gopis scratched the ground with their toes. Tears flowed from their eyes, carrying their cudgel and washing away the vermilion smeared on their breasts. Thus they stood silently bearing the burden of their unhappiness. Purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. The gopis felt, if Krishna had not been conquered by our love, then our love must not be genuine. And if we cannot properly love Krishna, what is the use of our lives? And if their reddish lips were drying up because of the hot breathing that arose from their unhappiness. When the hot sun dries ripe red bimba fruits, dark spots appear on them and they grow soft. The beautiful lips of the gopis similarly changed in appearance. They stood they stood silently before Krishna, unable to speak. Om Gyanati Malandisha Gyanandana Salakaya Chaksimitamina Tasma Sri Gurave Namaha Vanchakalpa Trivishcha Kripa Sindhu Devicha Patitano Pavane Bhyo Vaishnavayo Namo Namaha. So the gopis are very despondent here. They are very unhappy with Krishna's words. They have given up everything, come to Krishna in the dead of night, and now it appears by Krishna's words that he is rejecting them, or if not rejecting them, at least telling them, please go home now, and of course in so many different ways. And of course we understand that there were double meanings to many of Krishna's words, so he was simultaneously encouraging and discouraging them. But still, taking that discouragement, they became very unhappy. They're drawing lines with their toes in the sand. You know, when somebody's feeling very bad and they do something like that. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur said that almost like they were drawing a line in the sand, hoping that the earth would open up and they could just fall in. They were feeling that despondent and that much remorse about the situation. So they're feeling that their lives are of no value without Krishna. That's mentioned here in this verse in purport. Their lives are of no value. They've given up everything, but now if they cannot be with Krishna, if they cannot love Krishna, if they cannot be engaged in reciprocal loving exchanges with him, what is the purpose of their life? So this is, of course, a mood that we often hear. The gopis exemplify this in the greatest degree. But we hear this mood of the devotees throughout the Bhagavatam, that their life is of very little value without Krishna. And actually, this is a fact. When the pure devotees are talking about life being of no value without the association of Krishna, association of devotees, that their life is no value outside of their loving relationship of service to Krishna, this is not just some sentiment. This isn't some flowery words of feeling, oh, my life has no value, like someone in a romantic relationship saying, oh, without you, my life is of no use, of no value. Sometimes people say these kind of things romantically or whatever, and And it's just, it's they may feel some of that sentiment at the moment, but it's really, it's not a very profound realization, a profound sentiment. But for the devotee, this is a profound sentiment, because the devotee is understanding that the value and the purpose of their life is only when it is connected with Krishna. The devotee understands that actually we have no life without Krishna, and that means literally our existence is because we are part and parcel of Krishna. We are the Jiva Shakti expansion of Krishna's energy. Without Krishna, we would simply not exist. It's kind of hard to contemplate in a way, because existence is part of our eternal nature. You know, it's hard to contemplate not existing. But actually, somehow or another, although that existence did not come about at any particular moment of time, we can't put any sort of material time, space, circumstances around it. Nevertheless, we are completely dependent upon Krishna for our very life. And not just because, and it's not just a matter of some fear or some duty that, okay, Krishna, God is very great, and, you know, I wouldn't have any life without God, and he could kill me in a moment. It's not like that. It's that not only is God is very great, but that God is very loving, and I have a loving relationship with Krishna. And therefore, the most wonderful experience of spiritual life is available to me in my relationship with Krishna. So, throughout the Bhagavatam, we hear about the value of Krishna consciousness, of the necessity for using our time and our life and trying to regain that connection and relationship with Krishna. And that human life, particularly in this material world, is, or any life in this material world, is of very little value without Krishna consciousness. I was thinking about, of course, very famous verses from the second canto of the third chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, where this is very vividly explained, how life is not of value unless it's connected with Krishna. So in text 17, says, both by the rising and by setting, the sun decreases the duration of life of everyone, except one who utilizes the time by discussing topics of the all-good personality of Godhead. And in these verses, Prabhupada writes some really wonderful purports that you know, that really capture this sense of the urgency of connecting our lives with Krishna. Srila Prabhupada says, this verse indirectly confirms the greater importance of utilizing the human form of life to realize our lost relationship with the Supreme Lord by acceleration of devotional service. It's an interesting word, isn't it? Acceleration. Not just connecting with Krishna, but, you know, forcibly, you know, with real determination, moving forward in devotional service. Time and tide wait for no man. So the time indicated by the sunrise and the sunset will be uselessly wasted if such time is not properly utilized for realizing identification of spiritual values. Even a fraction of the duration of life wasted cannot be compensated by any amount of gold. Human life is simply awarded to a living entity, Jiva, so that he can realize his spiritual identity and his permanent source of happiness. A living being, especially the human being, is seeking happiness because happiness is the natural situation of the living entity, but he is vainly seeking happiness in the material atmosphere. So, very, very strong emphasis on the idea of not wasting time and not wasting the opportunity. Srila Prabhupada, I don't know how many lectures Srila Prabhupada used that phrase, do not waste the opportunity of this human form of life. In other words, an opportunity means something that's afforded to you, right? It's something that you have a great chance. It's something of value. So, yes, we have an opportunity because we have a human form of life, most of us with reasonable intelligence to be able to understand philosophy, to understand spiritual matters. So, to waste this is such a tragic shame. In fact, this is Shonaka Rishi speaking, isn't it? Talking about, you know, in other words, if we are not discussing topics of Krishna, is like every rising and setting of the sun is just another day wasted. And then, of course, those verses go on. They're very strong. I remember when I first heard these, I thought, oh, this is kind of almost a little bit harsh. I mean, it's such a strong statement about material life. But as we go along in Krishna consciousness, we realize how absolutely 100% true this is. It goes on to say, do the trees not live? Do the bellows of the blacksmith not breathe? All around us, do the beasts not eat and discharge semen? Men who are like dogs, hogs, camels, and asses, praise those men who never listen to the transcendental pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna, the deliverer from evils. Then it goes on, several more like this, about how we may appear to be acting as human beings, or things may be of value, but they have no real value. And finally it says, the person who has not at any time received the dust of the feet of the Lord's pure devotee upon his head is certainly a dead body. And the person who has never experienced the aroma of the tulsi leaves and the lotus feet of the Lord is also a dead body, although breathing. Certainly that heart is steel-framed, which in spite of one's chanting the holy name of the Lord with concentration, does not change when ecstasy takes place, tears fill the eyes, and the hairs stand on end. So we have these very strong statements from the Srimad Bhagavatam, really exhorting us to take up spiritual life. And why do the Acharyas speak so strongly? It is not to criticize materialistic people. There's no meaning to that. The pure devotee has no reason to look down upon others. In fact, he sees everyone as a pure spirit soul. But they understand that these pure spirit souls have somehow or another forgotten the real purpose of life. And therefore, it is the mercy of the guru, the mercy of the great acharyas and great devotees and spiritual masters who sometimes speak strongly to wake up the conditioned soul, to wake us all up that here we are in this material world with a human form of life, with this great opportunity, and we're simply squandering it, looking for very, very temporary sense gratification in this material world. So we do not want to misuse this opportunity of human life and lead a life of no real value. So this very, very great gift of spiritual life, this very valuable commodity, has been given to us by Krishna Guru. Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Brahmanda Brahmate Konya Bhagavan Jiva Guru Krishna Prasade Paya Bhakti Lata Bij. According to their karma, all living entities are wandering throughout the entire universe. Some of them are being elevated to the upper planetary systems, and some are going down into the lower planetary systems. Out of many millions of wandering living entities, one who is very fortunate gets an opportunity to associate with a bona fide spiritual master by the grace of Krishna. By the mercy of both Krishna and the spiritual master, such a person receives the seed of the creeper of devotional service, the Bhakti Lata Bij. So this is confirmed that mercy descends by the grace of both Krishna and Guru. Both are needed. Of course, it's described by the mercy of the spiritual master, one receives Krishna, but by the mercy of Krishna, one receives the spiritual master. So these two working together, and of course the guru being the representative of Krishna, the transparent via media, the one who Krishna has empowered to bring his mercy through to the conditioned souls, is absolutely critical to all of our lives. And what is given by the spiritual master and Krishna is his Bhakti Lata Bij, the seed of devotional service, the seed of the creeper of devotional service, actually. So it's the beginning. And then, without the seed being planted, nothing is going to happen. And of course, from there, the analogy continues, how it needs to be watered, has to be nourished by the process of devotional service, by hearing and chanting, and how one must have to guard against those things that which would impede the growth of the plant, such as offenses to the holy name. So at any rate, this process is all beginning. So the spiritual master not only plants the seed, but he also gives us the process of watering and cultivation, to the point, as is described, that creeper of bhakti grows all the way up to the spiritual world, to the lotus feet of Krishna. Once we recede the Bhakti Lata Bij, that seed of the creeper devotional service, our lives are changed permanently. There's a permanent change. One can no longer appreciate material life in the same way that one could. Although, of course, many of us didn't really appreciate material life so much. In fact, probably because we understood a lot of the suffering and difficulties and problems associated with material life, we looked for something else. We knew that somehow this was not the real thing. And then when we were fortunate enough to come in contact with the spiritual master, we were able to change that life and take up real spiritual life. So that change is, of course, sometimes devotees may attempt to go back to material life. Usually they're not very happy, usually very frustrated. And in most cases, they find they have to come back. So even if we see some of our devotees appear to have left the association of devotees, you know, it's, as they say, it's never over till it's over, something like that. You know, it's we have a full lifetime. And during that lifetime, if one is not situated in devotional service, there's four things that one can be assured of: birth, death, disease, and old age. And three other things, the threefold miseries of life. Those things everyone is going to experience. All of us will experience. But the devotee experiences in a very, very different way. If one is not engaged in devotional service, it is simply pain and misery, and simply unhappiness and frustration. For one who's engaged in devotional service, there may be those difficulties along the way, but they're understood, they're tolerated. Because the greater experience of spiritual life, of Krishna consciousness, of our relationship with Guru and Krishna is there, and that sustains us. And that gives us power and strength and the ability to overcome so many things. For one thing, we have spiritual knowledge. We have understanding. We know how to put things in perspective. We know what's important, what's not important. And we have some understanding of how to accept those things which are favorable or unfavorable and how to deal with them, you know, and how to go on and maintain our Krishna consciousness. So one of the great gifts given to us is, of course, spiritual knowledge, this understanding of our purpose of life and the value of life and why things are as they are. So this was given to us by Srila Prabhupada. I think we could safely say, without exaggeration, at least in the West, I think we could say almost everyone in the Western world, at least, who is a devotee because of Srila Prabhupada. And you might be able to find an exception, but not very many. We are all connected with Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada's mercy in bringing Krishna consciousness to this Western world. There's no greater value, no greater gift that could be given to any of us. So we're all engaged, in that service by Srila Prabhupada's mercy. And we're experiencing that reciprocation. We're experiencing the reciprocation with Krishna and with our spiritual master because of that. So this heart, the very heart of Krishna consciousness, is exemplified by these loving exchanges. This is devotional service, bhakti yoga. What does bhakti mean? Bhakti means love and devotion. We all know that. We all hear that so many times. So love and devotion, what does it mean? Devotional, and we say devotional service. So what does service mean? Service means there's an exchange. There's an exchange, but it's not service like somebody pays me to be their servant. It's an exchange of service through love. Love is the basis and service is the instrument by which it is exemplified. So here we are seeing how the gopis gave everything to Krishna. And Krishna will fully reciprocate. He hasn't yet, but he will. So far where we are in the story, he's not reciprocating, and they're very, very, and that's why they're so unhappy, because they're not receiving the mercy from Krishna, but he will give it to them. And Prabhupada gave everything to us, and we reciprocate by our eternal service to him, our eternal loyalty and service to Srila Prabhupada. So this is what Krishna consciousness is about. It's about these loving exchanges. Which brings me, I'm trying to get a nice segue here, to the Christmas season. This is Christmas Eve, right? Tomorrow's Christmas. So this is actually a time when even the non-devotees think about reciprocation. Think about giving and receiving of gifts. In fact, there's some special qualities are manifested. It is kind of rather interesting that you see that the modes of nature seem to raise a little bit during the Christmas season, or there's some idea of people going beyond the selfish desires to give to others. So this whole idea there is of giving gifts and trying to do, and you see that many charities are very active and people give in charity and they give to others during this Christmas season. So in one sense, people raise their modes a little bit and they get more into this mode of goodness idea of giving to others. Of course, we also see, you know, all the blatant commercialism as well. So of course, everything in the material world is flawed, and so we see very mixed modes here. When you read in the papers, you know, they carefully track the Christmas season, like, you know, how good the first weekend was, the second weekend. It's like our entire economy is dependent upon how much money everybody spends at Christmas. So to be a good patriotic citizen, I guess you should go out and spend as much money at Christmas time as possible, you know, to help our economy. But at any rate, so that's there, of course, because it's the material world. But a little bit beyond that, there's a little bit more. Sometimes there's some sentiment of giving to others. And of course, you know, this is something that, you know, the devotees understand very, very clearly. Because Krishna consciousness is actually, shows the highest quality of giving to others. This is what the Krishna consciousness movement is about. That's why Srila Prabhupada came, to give to others. And to give, what? The highest knowledge of spiritual life. To give people real life, to give people real happiness. So there's nothing better one can do except to try to give this mercy to others and give this happiness of Krishna consciousness. So this highest spirit of compassion was, of course, manifested by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I just had that very nice... Who wrote that song? Was that Bhaktivinoda? That was Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Very nice song. I wasn't very familiar with that one. That was very nice, hearing about Lord Chaitanya, particularly at this time of year when Lord Chaitanya is known, of course, as the most beneficent. He embodies this principle of Adharya, of mercy, and his whole pastimes are considered to be pastimes of mercy and munificence. So we are, of course, in Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement, and this is the whole basis of it. The whole basis is this idea of giving to others, and to give what? To relieve the living entity of the suffering condition. There's no other reason, you know, for us to go out and to try to give Krishna consciousness to others except to relieve their suffering condition in life and give them the real happiness of Krishna consciousness. So Lord Chaitanya gave this chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra very freely. He gave it to everyone. There was no restriction. Anybody can take to it. There was no... In fact, he even gave it to the animals and the plants, to all living entities. Every living entity who hears the holy name of the Lord is benefited. Every living entity who takes prasadam is benefited. So this is indeed the most merciful spiritual movement possible. There's no other spiritual movement that just gives completely freely to all living entities. You don't have to pay a fee, you know. In fact, the dogs and cats don't even have to chant. They can simply hear the chanting and take prasadam. What to speak of the human beings who are also given this gift of spiritual knowledge, this gift of understanding our real nature, our relationship with Krishna. So we should utilize this Christmas season. Many people are very receptive. They're sort of in this giving mood. And we need to take up that mood of Srila Prabhupada, of giving spiritual knowledge to the world. CCID 941, Prabhupada said, this is not only this is a famous verse, of course, about spread, giving out Krishna consciousness all over the world, where he first says, anyone who's born in Bharadvarsha, this is their duty. But Prabhupada says, forget Bharadvarsha, everybody's responsible. This is not only the duty of Indians, but the duty of everyone. And we are very happy that Americans and European boys and girls are seriously cooperating with this movement. One should know definitely that the best welfare activity for all of human society is to awaken man's God consciousness or Krishna consciousness. Therefore, everyone should help this great movement. So this is Srila Prabhupada's desire and our reciprocation to Srila Prabhupada, our loving exchange for everything that Srila Prabhupada has given us, is for us to also help Krishna and Srila Prabhupada in their mission of giving Krishna consciousness throughout the world. So this is the missionary spirit of Christian consciousness. And we do this by freely giving out the holy name of the Lord. We have so many opportunities on Harinam Sankirtan by giving prasadam. Yeah. I always think it's really nice. Devotees, of course, always looking for opportunities. They, you know, all these boxes of prasadam and candy and everything that everybody's buying and selling that they put out. I'm sure most of those go to people's relatives, or I know we, I think our mailman and our garbage man and our UPS driver and everybody got some prasadam, you know. So this with devotees, we naturally do. We try to give prasadam to everyone. We try to use opportunities that, like at Christmas, you know, to, this is an opportunity where you can really freely give people prasadam and they appreciate it and they accept it and they understand it. We also have the opportunity, of course, to give out Srila Prabhupada's transcendental literature. And of course, this is probably the most important thing and the greatest gift we can give to anybody is the gift of spiritual knowledge. So I saw in the newsletter today, they said that we're up to about 1,000 books. I think 1,000 Bhagavad Gitas have been sponsored by this community this year. And I think we want to do more than that, so we still have some time. And if you have not yet sponsored your books for the year, you should do that. And that's part of the gift that we can all give back. We can give back to Krishna, the Srila Prabhupada, and we can help them in giving this gift to the fallen conditioned souls. So, thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Hare questions? Comments? Any seasonal Christmas thoughts?
There's one verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada put it in his purport. Sarvada dhamsa rahita satta vidhamsa karne chad bhava vandanam juna saprema parikirtita. What is the definition of pure love? So Prabhupada said, if there is an ample reason to break the love between the lover and beloved, yet never broken, that is the definition of pure love.
What was the lesson? Never what?
If there is an ample reason to break the love. So this pastime that you read, I think also like a perfect example of that. This is in Adi Lila chapter 4, 160. In the Parpar Prabhupada put this, was the definition of pure love. Mm. But never breaks.
Never break, yeah.
I think last time you gave class, I forgot, a couple of weeks back, that you mentioned the three things Lord Krishna wanted to establish. I think sometime it was probably the most important in this chapter that to focus that. You said Lord Krishna wanted to reveal the world that by even he is acting as indifferent, he has no interest for the gopis' love, just to show that even at that crisis, their love rather increased for him than decreased, even a drop.
Yeah.
I was like, in the material world, it doesn't exist that way.
Yeah, we're seeing this wonderful example this past time with the gopis. Yeah, in the material world, they would have said, okay, so much for you, and taken off. You know, you're going to treat me like this, you know. But we see the gopis' love just ever increases. And this is the nature of spiritual love and spiritual relationships. It's ever increasing. It's not conditional. I think that's the point you're making. It, you know, it's never broken. It's never conditional. If you do this for me, then I'll do this. Otherwise, no. You know, real love does not have conditions like that. Yes, Lily, so happy birthday.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Thank you for the very nice class. I enjoy hearing your classes. I wanted to acknowledge Jesus Christ today. For a lot of us, he was our first guru and illuminated the importance of developing a relationship with God. So, not to miss Jesus during Christmas.
Yes. You know, it is important to remember, although we say we're not Christians, at the same time, Srila Prabhupada has said that Jesus Christ was a pure devotee of the Lord. And I think at one point he even said he was called the Shaktivesh avatar. So obviously, very, very empowered living entity to give God consciousness according to time and circumstance. And at the time and circumstance, it was the appropriate path for people at that time. And obviously, and Prabhupada, Prabhupada never really criticized Christianity. Sometimes he criticized people's application or lack of application or lack of truly following. And sometimes he would really hit him on things like meat eating, like that. But he considered that to be a deviation. He would say, the Bible says, thou shalt not kill. Why are you killing? In other words, he didn't say, the Bible's wrong, Jesus is wrong. He said, you're not following. And that was really the main criticism. But people only make a show of it. And for a lot of people, going out to the shopping mall at Christmas is like the highlight of their religious experience. So, we do need to have great respect for that. In fact, as Srila Prabhupada said once in San Francisco about, I don't know if anyone's real familiar with this, I don't recall the exact words, but something to the effect that Lord Jagannath appeared because of the piety and the devotion, the Christianity that was here in America. You know, so in other words, there was enough piety that Krishna could appear here. In fact, that's a very important thing, because there has to be a sufficient amount of agata sukriti or piety or something, you know, for one to take to Krishna consciousness. And I think I've said this two or three times in class, but according to all they do all these regular polls, the Gallup poll particularly tracks religion. And again, the number, in terms of belief in God, the number one country in the world is India. And number two is America, believe it or not. So there still is some piety here due to, mostly the Christian influence. So we respect that. And now we have the opportunity to raise them to the next level of Krishna consciousness. Jai. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.